Let us pray. Anoint my lips, O Lord, and give me clarity of mind that I may faithfully proclaim your holy word. For this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At times, I find it helpful to use good writers to drill down further into a topic from an angle I haven't thought about, at least in that particular way. And so, as you know, I have some favorites as an author, and one of them is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, about wisdom, or as he calls it, prudence. Quote, prudence means practical common sense, taking the trouble to think out what you are doing and what is likely to come of it. Nowadays, most people hardly think of prudence as one of the virtues. In fact, Christ said we could only get into his world by being like little children. Christ never meant that we're to remain children in intelligence. On the contrary, he told us not only to be as harmless as doves, but also as wise as serpents. He wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head. He wants us to be simple, single-minded, affectionate, and teachable as good children. But he wants every bit of intelligence that we have to be alert at its job and in first-class fighting trim. The fact that you are giving money to a charity does not mean you need not try to find out whether that charity is a fraud or not. The fact that you are thinking about God, for example, when you are praying, does not mean you can be content with the same babyish ideas which you had when you were a five-year-old. End of quote. As I recall, when I was growing up, I had this kind of babyish or immature, childish idea about the offering plate in church. And the pastor would talk about giving your money to the work of the Lord. And I had this idea that on Sunday night, God came down miraculously and took the money from the offering and took it up to heaven. What God or the angels did with that money in heaven is beyond me. But this quote serves us with some good food for thought as we consider growing in wisdom. From Proverbs 24. So to grow in wisdom, my first point is we must be mindful about our motives. Proverbs 24, 17 to 20 says this, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your angels be glad when he stumbles. Or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. For there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." Derek Kidner writes this about this, makes this comment in his commentary about Proverbs 24:18. The point of verse 18 is that your glee over your enemy may be a more punishable sin than all the guilt of your enemy. A comparable warning appears in Romans 12, 18 through 21, end of quote. The point being made by Solomon is that we should not rejoice in the downfall of your enemy, for it reveals your desire for revenge. The sin of the desire for revenge is wicked because it's out of accord with God's love for humanity. Jesus himself said on the cross about those who crucified him and those who clamored for his crucifixion, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This same desire God calls on all Christians to imitate. Listen to this message that the Apostle Paul gave us in Romans 12, 18 through 21. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. While the motive cited for revenge in Proverbs 24:18 initially appears to be vindictive, it teaches us that when we are devoid of kindness for our enemy, we deserve God's judgment more than our enemy does. And so we need to be mindful of our motives. Secondly, to grow in wisdom, we also must be accurate in our judgment and in our words. We make judgments starting in our minds, and our words flow from that judgment. Let us remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in our gospel reading this morning as we seek to fully understand Proverbs 24, 23 through 25. These also are the sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, people will curse him, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. These verses speak about not showing favoritism to the wicked for some advantage that you think will come your way. Don't call the wicked righteous to curry their favor. What we should say to the wicked is to rebuke them in their sin, and when you do that, you are in fact doing good to them, and you are blessing them. You are showing concern for their soul's health and for the improvement of their character. Previously, the prophet Isaiah gives us this warning in Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. To live out godly wisdom, we are to imitate God's word and call sin wrong and call righteousness good and beautiful. We are to think God's thoughts after him and to say the same thing that God says about human behavior, motives, and thinking. And that's why Isaiah warns us to not be wise in our own eyes. Proverbs 24, 28, 29 goes on to say this, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive with your lips. Do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Verse 28 is a command to give true witness about your neighbor. And the phrase without cause is perhaps a caution to bear witness in a court of law only what you know about your neighbor, without speculation or impugning of motives, without being able to back up your testimony. I've watched enough crime mysteries on TV to know when a lawyer asks a question to a witness, what do you think or what do you feel? Objection, Your Honor, that's speculation. Well, I just made the statement that while this applies most immediately to what one says in a court of law, the same principle should apply to our conversation and remarks about our neighbor outside of a courtroom. What if you had to swear on oath what you're about to say about any person at any time? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about every time you said something about a person. And what if you said something and there was somebody behind you? Objection, that's speculation. This is what we're called to do, to be wise, to not speculate, to not impugn motives, to not say, oh, I know why he did that because of this. This is what he was thinking. We're not God. We don't know what's going on in a person's mind. We may think we know. Again, the warning from Isaiah, don't be wise in your own eyes. You can't read somebody's thoughts or motives. From our New Testament reading this morning, Matthew 5, 21 and 22. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Jesus is not only teaching us don't murder, but he's doing something much harder. That we're to respect the dignity of every person. While very few people commit murder, which is a heinous sin, Jesus' application of the commandment to be obeyed and lived out in its fullness includes not saying about another person, you good for nothing, or you fool. Which most of us have done at some point in our lives, and maybe many times over. Matthew 5 and Proverbs 24 are in union and harmony with each other. So whether one gives a testimony in a court of law or not, and I certainly haven't, and hopefully never will, we are to show respect to all people and how we talk about them and what we say about them, because we're all made in God's image. And to treat a person with contempt is to treat Jesus Christ with contempt. Verses 28 and 29 then belong together because they address the same topic about being truthful in our communication about our neighbor. Revenge is born from unrighteous anger and the heat of sinful passion. The loss of control depicted in Proverbs 24:29 is the opposite of self-restraint, which is called for by biblical wisdom. And so growing in wisdom means we need to be careful in what we say and how we treat our neighbor. Last of all, to grow in wisdom is to be diligent in our work. The writer of Proverbs extols the virtue of hard work in Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Notice in these words, the wise person is able to prioritize his work, which requires thinking through what work needs to come first. Namely, in this case, the outdoor work, and then sticking to that priority by disciplined and hard work. The habit of hard and conscientious work applies both to what we get paid for and what we don't get paid for. It's oddly inconsistent for someone to be a hard, diligent worker at his job and then a sluggard about his home and how he takes care of his property or his lack thereof. Let's take an even broader view of work, though, as it extends to how we handle our finances, the effort we put into relationships, the committed effort we have toward the local church. Solomon also warns against the vices, the opposite of the hardworking person, and that is the sluggard, the man who neglects hard work, is spoken of in Proverbs 24:30 through 34. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. Behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. This warning is against the opposite of diligent work, which is lethargy, lack of effort, more commitment to sleep than work, and the refusal to be engaged in good and helpful work. May we yield to the grace of God and ask for His grace to help us to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit as we grow in godly wisdom and prudence. Let us pray. Help us, O Lord God Almighty, that as we grow in age, we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to number our days aright, that we may work and labor in your kingdom and gain a heart of wisdom. These things we humbly beg through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.